You're listening to Questionable Material with Jack and Brian, a mostly improvised podcast produced in New York by Jack Helmuth and Brian Sack. QMpodcast.com.
Hi, Brian.
Hello, Jack.
How the heck are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you? I'm excited for tomorrow.
Oh, what's tomorrow?
Tomorrow, I have a date with Dr. Mohajer.
Oh, Dr. Mohajer. Yeah. I mean, you said doctor, so I'll say he with confidence. How is he as a doctor? He sounds like a fun guy.
I don't really know, because when I see him, I'm not conscious.
Oh, so you're going to be having some sort of special operation or procedure tomorrow?
He just wants to look in my bum, Jack.
Oh, now, in Brian speak, bum means rear end or butt.
Yes.
So you're going to let this supposed doctor look in your rear end.
He said, I need to have a colonoscopy, and which is when they put a garden hose with a camera in your bum after you've had your poo-poo drink.
Like, are you talking about a Red Bull?
No. A poo-poo drink is a drink that doesn't taste like poo-poo like Red Bull does. It actually makes you poo-poo all day long, Jack. The day before your colonoscopy, they give you a poo-poo drink, and you drink the poo-poo drink and nothing else, because you can only have water, because everything else mucks up the system for them when they get in there with their garden hose camera. So you have your poo-poo drink, and you spend your day going, uh-oh, got to go to the bathroom.
So you are currently in that stage. You've been drinking your poo-poo drink today and have spent much of your day on the toilet?
I've had my poo-poo drink, Jack, and I have another poo-poo drink at 8:30 p.m.
Wow.
And then there'll be nothing left, Jack. I will be clean and pristine like the day I was born.
I have been around newborns recently, and I can tell you that that area isn't as clean and pristine as one would think.
Yeah, I remember that. That's kind of nasty. I forgot. But yeah, like a clean baby, a cleaner baby than yours.
Yeah, she's filthy.
Yeah, she is really disgusting.
Thank you. Sure. So you're having a colonoscopy tomorrow. Is this your first?
No.
Is this
5 years ago?
So 5 years ago. So that would be when you were around 48-ish, 49?
Something like that.
Was that the first colonoscopy you've ever had? You've only had one before?
No. I was in colonoscopy club in high school.
Okay, I was in robotics.
Yeah, I couldn't get into robotics. That was full. It was high in demand. I wasn't much of an athlete, but this gentleman had a colonoscopy club.
Okay, gentleman.
And
okay,
just kind of, yeah. He didn't teach at the school. He just lingered, and so he had a colonoscopy club.
And so he would be, okay. So you discovered him on the grounds of the school, but not necessarily on the inside of the school.
Yeah, no, he was in his car. He had a Oldsmobile, a station wagon back in the day. It was very big, like a battleship. And he would sit there, and I would exit the school, of course, near the end of the school day, and he would flash his lights on his Oldsmobile, which meant the colonoscopy club was in session.
Oh, that's really exciting. And so you would get in, and you would go to some sort of, like, would he rent out a space at like a local community center or something?
I don't know, because I was always unconscious.
Long from the time you entered the Oldsmobile, were you conscious?
Well, you get into the Oldsmobile. This is how the club work.
Okay.
You know, school's out. I see the headlights flash on the Oldsmobile station wagon.
Yeah.
I walk over. I knock on the side window. I get in. And then he opens out his thermos.
Okay.
So he had a big red thermos. I used to call it Big Red. And we all had a chuckle about that.
That's cute.
And so he'd pour me a little drink from his thermos and I'd sip it. And just like the movie The Vanishing, I'd fall asleep.
That's awesome. And what would vanish by the time you woke up?
Well, my pants, obviously, because you can't have colonoscopy club with pants on, Jack.
It's a really good point.
Yeah. So basically, you know, before you know it, the club is over. And that's one of the things I kind of regret is that I didn't really get to experience the club itself. Mm-hmm. Just kind of the before and after.
Yeah. What was the after like?
The after was the car would be in a different position, usually somewhere in the parking lot. And
sure.
You would just kind of reach across and open up the passenger door and kind of usher me out.
Okay.
Club over.
And so each time, I mean, did he ever find any polyps or anything concerning? Because that's definitely young for a colonoscopy. You know, what was the sort of medical reports you would get each time?
Well, he said it was preventive medicine. Hmm. He said he didn't see any polyps per se, but he wasn't quite sure. And he'd come back next week and check on that club.
Typically, you go 5 years in between. I don't expect you as a boy to have known that.
I didn't know a lot back then, Jack. You know, you're young and you're naive in a lot of ways. And you go by what the adults tell you.
Sure. It really is a shame that your mother got sick and passed away, because I feel like this might have been prevented had she been around.
It would have been something I might have run by her and said, what do you think about colonoscopy club, Mom? And she might have said, I love it. I hate it. I don't know. I'll never know.
You never know. So, you know, were there any lasting changes after colonoscopy club? Because, you know, a lot of times people, for example, I learned recently that if you make the rank of Eagle Scout in the Boy Scouts, you're statistically much, much more likely to go to the college of your choice, that there's a correlation. So that's sort of like a club or activity where you can see a cool result for later in life. Have you found that you've had any cool results later in life from colonoscopy club?
I kind of did. Yeah. I mean, I know I got a lot of solicitations to be a pen pal for prisoners.
Oh, that's another community service type of program, I guess.
I don't know. They just kind of came out of the blue and it started arriving at the house, and I would get all these solicitations saying, I've heard about you. You're polyp free. Let's talk.
So you began to get a reputation in town.
Yeah. Small town, big reputation.
So did you start to like walk with like a little bit of a swagger as you like, you know, got into your like junior and senior years, that you're sort of like this big shot in colonoscopy club?
Well, no, because all the repeat colonoscopies kind of take their toll.
Oh, yeah, I guess that would make sense.
I had a hard time sitting, a hard time walking. It wasn't great.
It's odd that you would keep going to the club, because it seems like you got very little from it.
Well, I did get something from it, and that is in my yearbook, it says colonoscopy club, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Wow. Oh, so you did all 4 years. Nothing
else. Yeah, and I have nothing else. Mm-hmm. So that really sticks out.
Yeah, no, that sticks out indeed. Did you letter in colonoscopy club, and were the letters AIDS?
I did not letter.
Shoot. Shoot. Well, I mean, it sounds like
really, that wasn't really a thing that was offered.
Yeah, I could ask him.
I wanted to ask for a letter, but I was always unconscious. And before I know it, I'm being ushered out the passenger door.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad. That
lean over gesture, get out of my car, please. See you next week.
Man, it's tough, tough. Whatever happened to your colonoscopy club club leader?
Well, he writes to me now from prison.
Cool. Hey, Brian.
Hi, Jack.
That was a fun segment.
You're a fun segment, Jack. You're a little fun segment.
Do you mean that?
Yeah.
Oh. Thank you. Are you a sweet boy?
Hey.
You want to join my club?
I'm going to have a hose in my bum, Jack.
I know you are. That's got to be yeah, that's a tough one to look forward to. This is a true story, unlike all the nonsense we normally do. This is a true story. I went in for an endoscopy.
What is that? The other end?
Yes, it goes through your mouth, because I was having like a little acid reflux, and they wanted to look down the mouth. So I go into my doctor's office. It's the same doctor who performed my colonoscopy when I had my colonoscopy. So I go into the pre-op area, where there's like a little area, and the nurse instructs me, you know, take off all your clothes, wear this gown, and I'll be back in 5 minutes. And I said, all my clothes? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, should I at least leave on my underwear? And she's like, no. I'm like, okay, that's a weird endoscopy. So take off all my clothes, wear the little paper thing. I'm completely buck naked. And she comes back in and we're sort of getting ready, and she's about to take me out. And I say, are you sure that I'm supposed to like have all my clothes off? Because like it was a little chilly and I just thought it was weird. She's like, yeah, for sure. And then that's when I decided to be like, you do realize this is an endoscopy, right? And she said, oh, what? Never mind then. Come back. You can put your clothes back. Yeah. Underwear and t-shirt is fine or whatever she said. She prepped me for a colonoscopy.
Oh my God.
And I was like seconds away from going in there and just a naked man. And that's a true story.
I mean, it's not as bad as having the wrong leg amputated, but still undesirable.
Yeah. Undesirable. Like
if you can avoid it.
Exactly. Well, hopefully those are different tubes.
Yeah. You'd think.
Yeah. So anyway,
I just remember the last time I looked up, I woke up a little groggy and I look over and so in my mind, it was going to be a tiny fiber optic camera.
Uh-huh.
Just a little wire with a little tiny, a magical camera on the end. And when I woke up, I saw what looked like a black garden hose just coiled on a table. And I said, is that the thing? And he said, yeah, that's the thing. And I just said, oh, how? So I don't know how, and now that I know what's coming, I'm preparing myself.
Well, how are you preparing yourself?
I am going to Hell's Kitchen. There's a club called the Eagle. I'm going to go in there, have some people buy me drinks, Jack, but only colorless drinks. Can't have any color with a colonoscopy. It needs to be just vodka.
Mm-hmm.
So vodka soda. I'll be like, vodka soda, boys, and you can have your way. Get me ready for this colonoscopy.
Boy. The damage that was done in your youth.
I do miss colonoscopy club.
Well, Brian, I will be thinking about you tomorrow in a very normal, friendly way. And I hope everything goes well and good luck. Please let us know what they find in a upcoming podcast.
Thank you. I'll give you a polyp date.
Yeah, that would be a great idea. So, you know, we got a little business to take care of, Brian.
Uh-oh, what?
Well, today's episode of Questionable Material with Jack and the Other Guy is not sponsored.
No, it's not Silent Partners.
It is not Silent Partners this week. You can still find Silent Partners at whatever their website is.
I don't remember.
Yeah, it's weird. Without that money, it's hard to remember. Yeah, don't remember.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember either. No clue. I think, wait a minute, didn't they change their name to
Copy Partners?
I think Copy, yeah. Or Partners Plus Copy Silence?
That sounds familiar.
Well, you know, if that next round of checks comes in, I'm sure we'll be able to remember. So this week, Brian, we have a different sponsor. And this is a sponsor that I'm very excited about because it is a man.
Just a man?
It's a man is sponsoring our podcast. Well, it's actually a woman sponsoring on behalf of her man.
Oh. A woman on behalf of a man.
Yes. So,
a real woman on behalf of a real man.
Yes, this is all real. This is 100% real.
Okay.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Jamie Brainerd. He's a geologist. And on March 23rd, we will be celebrating, all of America will be celebrating Jamie's 37th birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Jamie. And how cool is that? His wife reached out to us, emailed us, and said, hey, would you mind letting me know how much it would cost to sponsor the podcast in honor of my husband's 37th birthday. And after
you said $25,000?
I did say, well, I actually said $7 million. And she talked me down to the $100, $150 range.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's something, right?
Yeah. I just got really excited for a second. I was picturing a new Jeep. Maybe with four doors.
Well,
I was getting excited.
Well, I'm after Jamie's next 20, 30 birthdays, if this becomes a recurring sponsorship deal, I bet you could get a car of some kind.
He's a geologist.
He is a geologist. It's really exciting. And how cool is this wife? Her name is Sam. Love Sam. She is getting like major wife points for sort of doing this thing. Like, it's what a present.
So she knows he likes the podcast. So she sponsored an ad on the podcast for his birthday. That's very nice. Cause my wife would do the opposite.
What would she do?
I tell her I like a podcast and she tries to get it canceled for hate speech.
Right. That's right. And your wife is not a big hate speech person. She really hates you.
She wants me to not enjoy podcasts. And I said, oh, honey, I love the Liberty Boys. And next thing you know, she started a letter writing campaign against the Liberty Boys.
Oh, man. I mean, right
and
there.
And all they did was talk about the First Amendment.
Yeah. What's the big problem? It's really strange. Now, but I was thinking about this because you and I have known each other for so long. Now, it feels like you were talking about a Jamie Brainerd that you guys used to hang out. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Like before.
I used to hang out with Jamie. Yes.
Yeah. But like before he sort of became a geologist, back when he was sort of still trying to find himself.
Yeah.
And now, didn't you tell me that he did some sort of, because you guys were buddies, and didn't he do some sort of like foreign exchange student thing where he went to, that he lived with the Gaddafi family in Libya? Is that right?
He did live with the Gaddafi family. Yes.
So it was like, it was Uday and Kusay.
Yep. The exact same names as Saddam's kids.
Yeah. And Jamie Brainerd.
Yeah. He was living with them, initially back in the alive days for the Gaddafi family. And, it was an exchange program. Mm-hmm. It was very, very unusual, but he had always expressed an interest in rocks. And, on the geology path, and he knew Libya was one of the rockier places in northern Africa.
Sure.
And so he thought, the closer he can get to rocks, the better. And so he, didn't quite know what he was getting into with the Gaddafi family. They had some zany adventures.
I love, just like a Muppet movie, I love zany adventures.
Yeah.
What were some of the crazy shenanigans that the Gaddafi boys and Jamie Brainerd would get into back in the day?
Well, Uday had a reputation for kind of showing up at weddings.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And taking the bride.
That's sort of a wedding crashers type of thing.
It is definitely a wedding crashing thing. And so he brought Jamie along for the ride. So you're going to love this, watch this. And he just pulled up with his entourage of very scary men. Mm-hmm. And strolled into the wedding, pointed at the bride. His gentleman grabbed the bride. They popped back in the car and they drove off.
That's goofy. What are these goofy shenanigans the kids would get into?
And so this is where Jamie comes in.
Oh, okay. That's perfect.
So Uday says, find me a decent cave. Do you know how to find good caves? And he goes, yes, I know. I'm into geology and I can tell from the landscape where there will be a good cave.
Oh, that's perfect. What a perfect synergy here. Continue, please.
That's what Uday kept saying. We have such synergy. We have such synergy. Help me take this woman to cave. And so Jamie would look at the strata on the rocks and he could be like, okay, based on what I'm looking at over there, there should be some kind of a cave or some kind of private place you can take this bride to be.
That's great. And so Jamie completely willingly did this.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, he said, I can't wait, I hope someday you come to my wedding and crash it.
Was he able to attend Jamie and Sam's wedding?
No, actually he was destroyed by several anti-tank weapons that were fired into his compound. Unfortunately, those killed him very much so.
Man, it's a good thing Jamie wasn't still a foreign exchange student at that point.
No, Jamie had left by then. Because, he was in Libya, but he was kind of pining for Sam. He had been with Sam in high school, and then they went their separate ways. And then he started thinking like, oh, man, I kind of miss that Sam girl.
Mm-hmm. All these girls I keep putting in caves, none of them sort of hold a candle to Sam.
They don't, he just kept thinking that. He's just like, oh, these, there's so many caves, but none of these caves bring me happiness. Sam made me happy. Maybe she and I could go live in a cave somewhere.
Yeah.
In America.
So nice. Man, this I love these. And so what sort of things would you, I mean, because that's pretty crazy, but what sort of, like, I imagine the stuff that you and Jamie did when you guys were friends were much more mild than that sort of crazy thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, we were walking on the beach.
Mm-hmm. You and Jamie.
We used to do the, yeah, Jamie and I would walk on the beach. Hmm. Sam always said no. And so, like, when I was walking on the beach with Jamie, I'd see rocks. Uh-huh. You know, beaches have lots of rocks. And I'd be, yeah, like, I'd be like, Jamie, what is the name of that rock? And he looked down and he got at it. He picked it up on the ground. He kind of looked at it. He washed it in the seawater and was looking at it, this white thing. And he looked at me and he said, Braden.
Braden?
Braden. And I said, okay, what's the name of that rock? And he picked it up and he dipped it in the water and he looked at it. It was kind of a bluish, had a blue tint to it. It's definitely different. And he said, Caden.
Braden and
Caden?
And
I'll
Caden?
Be damned. Braden. And he went down the whole beach and he named all those rocks. And I was incredibly impressed.
That's cool. So he had no idea what they were composed of or what their, like, scientific names were, but he Clueless. Took the time to name and personalize each and every one of them.
Yeah, he had absolutely no idea what the actual rock words were, but when it came to naming the rocks, he amazing, nonstop.
So Jamie is a geologist who conspired with the Gaddafis, doesn't know, quote, rock words, end quote. Yep. And any other sort of things that we should know about Jamie from your extensive time with him?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, what?
Oh, he loves the Rolling Stones.
Does he like all rock and roll?
He likes to rock.
That's so stupid.
His wedding song was I Wanna Rock.
Right. And I hear Sam was really upset when they opened all the gifts. Anything else we should know about Jamie before we move on?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Tell me, please.
He cries when he sees lava.
Why is that, Brian?
It's melted, Jack. It's a melted rock.
So it's like, to him, he sees lava and it's like,
It's like Frosty the Snowman. It's like Frosty the Snowman.
I guess melting. Yours is a nicer way of putting it. Yeah, Frosty the Snowman. Okay. So he just, every time he sees lava, he just sobs like a little baby, I'll say it.
Yep. Yeah, he and Sam, his wife, they went to Iceland for their honeymoon.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's cool.
And there's a volcano there called Hardrik Harkalfikler. And while they were there, it started leaking lava.
Sure.
And the poor guy just started screaming and crying.
Oh.
And he was inconsolable.
Oh.
And Sam was just like, it's okay. It's okay. I mean, at some point it'll cool down and become a rock again. And he's like, yeah, but right now it's lava and it's melted and I love it so much.
And so was the rest of the honeymoon good? I mean, were they able to, you know, really connect and, you know, finally sort of be man and wife?
Unfortunately, no.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Just the lava trauma was too much?
The lava trauma, it really kind of set him off.
Mm-hmm.
But what was worse than that was at the same time, ironically, he started passing a kidney stone.
That must have been a real mixed bag for old Jamie Brainerd.
He was torn because, you know, it was excruciating, but in his mind, he was giving birth to a stone and he loved it so much.
Oh, that's tough.
And he would alternate between screaming in pain and laughing with joy. Mm-hmm. And at some point the stone passed and he named it Deshanna.
Where is Deshanna now?
Deshanna is on the shelf in their home.
Mm-hmm.
It's higher up because he's got kids.
What are their ages? Like 3 and 1 or something like that?
3 and 1, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh. Although, you know, and he keeps looking at them. He'll look at the kids and be like, in geologic time, you're nothing. You're nothing.
But it's got to be tough for a 3-year-old to hear.
It's tough for the kid to process. And Sam's constantly like, please stop saying that to your child. you're going to screw up the kid. You just don't say that. And he just can't help himself because he looks at things in geologic time. And these 3 years is nothing. 1 year is nothing.
Man, I mean, the thing you always hear growing up is you don't want a geologist as a dad. And I guess this is sort of what that old axiom is about.
Yeah, I think that's what Carl Sagan was talking about.
You know who else talked about that extensively?
Who?
Pat Benatar.
You're right. You know what they're doing for his birthday? His 37th?
Yeah, 37th. Yeah, what?
I hope I'm not spoiling this, but she's taking him to a movie.
Oh my gosh. Well, that sounds like a fun date night, especially when you have two little kids. What movie are they going to go see?
Rocky.
Stupid. Idiots. Well, Brian, that's about as much. I think that's all of our geology content that we could possibly do.
I am out of rock jokes, Jack.
Yes. Yeah. Do 10 solid minutes on geology. I'd say that's a pretty good bang for the buck. I would imagine the Brainerd family did think they did well on that sponsorship deal.
You know, Sam was telling me that if we didn't do it for Jamie,
yeah.
She was going to send her $100 to Cameo.
Uh-huh.
And get a recording from Roger Stone.
You still had that one joke left.
Had to. It was there.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, Brian, let's shift away now from the Brainerds. Again, they got their $100-$150 worth out of that. And anyone else who'd like to sponsor the podcast, please reach out to jack@qmpodcast.com.
You are the man.
I want to talk to you about a story that I saw in the news because this is, you know, involving you. In New York City, the city where we both live or live around, during Black History Month, a school in Park Slope, Brooklyn, my old neighborhood where I lived for 16 years, a school PS 321, which is like the big school in Park Slope. It's on real estate ads. It's, you know, zoned for PS 321. That's
the one that everybody wants to get their kids into.
That's exactly right.
Because all the other ones are terrible. Kind of like here in the Greenwich Village, you have PS 41 and PS 3. Those are the quote unquote good schools.
Right.
And so everybody tries to get their kids in those.
Yes. So perfect comedy free example. That's great. So, yes, exactly. So, now, what they made news, this school, PS321, a K-5 school in ultra-progressive Park Slope, where kids were given a coloring book that extolled the 13 tenets of the Black Lives Matter movement.
Mother of God. Seriously?
Yep. And the book is called, this is 100% true, is What We Believe, a Black Lives Matter Principles Activity Book. And it used kid-friendly illustrations to get across their sort of ideas. And here are some of the pages featured things like queer-affirming, which I'm not sure why that's a Black Lives Matter thing, but whatever, transgender-affirming, and, of course, restorative justice.
That's the best one, restorative justice.
It's really good. And it teaches that the movement's national demands, which include to mandate Black history and ethnic studies, to hire more Black teachers, and to fund counselors, not cops, was given to every student in the school in their little fun Black Lives Matter coloring book.
I'm sure that went over well.
I'm sure in that neighborhood it probably did. So, you know, I know that you're, how did you get the job? Because you're on the Black Lives Matter voting council.
Yep.
How did you get that? Before we get into the coloring book and what you guys sort of did with that, how did you, because I'll say it, I'm not afraid to say it, you're white.
Mm. Yeah, I know.
And you identify as white.
Yeah, I mean, I tried to identify as Black, but I didn't pull it off. People got mad at me.
Why? What did you do that got people mad at you?
Well, I tried to identify as Black. I tried rapping.
Okay. Well, I mean, well, Ben Shapiro, the number one rap single in America. Why could you not rap? Are you a poor rapper?
No, but I was wearing blackface, and that's where apparently they draw the line.
It's a lot of rules you got to keep up with.
It's hard to know. They just keep changing. You never know when you're breaking the law.
So you got dressed up in blackface and because you're identifying as black, and where would you perform these raps?
At the St. Regis Center for the Blind.
Well, then why did you need the blackface?
Same question everybody's been asking me. And I just wanted to be thorough.
Okay. And so this got people mad at you.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, they came after me. But I was able to overcome it.
Well, like so many black Americans, you've overcome a lot to get where you are.
I said, listen, if the Prime Minister of Canada can get away with it, why can't I?
It's a fair question. So, okay. All right. So you identify as black, but they didn't really work out. How were you welcomed on to the voting board of the council for Black Lives Matter? I mean, that's such an interesting, it doesn't seem like you would be a good fit there.
Well, it just so happened that one of the, Patrice, I call her Patrice, Miss Colors, one of the heads of the movement, had her eye on a piece of property that I had owned.
Oh.
And she had came to me and said, I'd like to buy that property with my Black Lives Matter money. And I'd said, okay, well, let's work out a deal.
Okay. I like
and
it.
So I cut her some slack in return for being part of her organization. Because I thought, if there's something in it for her, maybe there's something in it for me.
That's great. So, okay. I guess that makes sense. And so what was it like sort of your first day on the job on the Council for Black Lives Matter?
There was a lot of who's the honky. And I just kind of would wave and be friendly. I've always learned to just kind of, let people say what they're going to say and just let it roll off your back. Like duck blood on a gondola. And so, they would say, who's the honky? And I just kind of wave, smile, and not acknowledge the fact that they were pointing at me and whispering.
Okay. So that was your subway ride to work, but what was it like at work?
Oh, when I walked in there, they were fine. They're like, nice to have you on board. Pale face. I don't know why they called me that. That was an Indian thing, but
yeah, it's weird.
It didn't hurt my feelings at all it might have hurt my feelings in the 1800s, but for now, it's fine. I'll take it.
A little cultural appropriation, but we're not going to open that can of worms. Okay, so you got on the board of Black Lives Matter. That's fascinating. So tell us about the meeting where you guys came up with, what were some of the other ideas that you guys had to reach children to help indoctrinate or strike that from the record, to educate children in all the important tenets of Black Lives Matterism?
Well, because I made a presentation there and I said, listen, you got to get into kids' brains young. That's how you make stuff stick. If you get them young and you start drilling the stuff into their heads, then these ideas, it's hard for these ideas to go away. And I said, perfect example. And I had a slideshow and I said, look, Hamas. I said, you get a 3-year-old kid, you put this crap in their head day after day after day. And by the time they're 15, they're throwing rocks at Jews with wild abandon. They're happy to.
Sure. I mean, look, I don't want to tell the people in the Middle East how to parent, but I mean, my kids were throwing rocks at Jews at, as soon as they could throw, as soon as they were walking.
But you guys are very hands-on.
Thank you. Not everyone parents the same as we do. So I don't want to, I don't want to criticize.
But so I said, this is how you do it. Let's get to the kids now. Where do we find kids? Somebody said school. I said, great idea. School. That's where kids are.
Right.
Unless, of course, the teachers unions shut them down during COVID and then they're not there. They're just at home. A lot harder to get in their homes, but now they're back in schools.
Right. No, that makes sense. So you had this realization that you needed to reach the kids.
Yes.
And you had this sort of school thing. So what were some of the ways, before you got to the coloring book idea, what were some of your ways, to teach kids the important facets of Black Lives Matter?
Well, obviously, puppets come in. When you're trying to reach kids, puppets are a great way to do it. You make a funny looking puppet. And the puppet, you know, if it's got a funny enough looking face, you're not, you know, really paying attention to the message. If the message is kill the cops, you know, but if it's got funny googly eyes, it kind of takes the edge off of that message.
So you created like a little puppet family, like, you know, tell us about like, you know, a couple of your puppet characters and the little plays that you would put on.
Well, there was Glorzo. And he would, his catchphrase was all cops are bastards.
Okay.
So that was his thing. It's kind of like, you know, hey, you guys, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's funny.
But it was just all cops are bastards, kind of in this kind of creepy, maybe on antidepressants monotone.
Oh, Glorzo.
Yeah.
Okay. That all was, right. So, and who did Glorzo hang out with?
Sneedle.
Sneedle. What was, yep. What did Sneedle like to talk to the kids about?
A late stage capitalism.
Okay. What would a Sneedle monologue or lesson be like?
Just about fighting the system and fighting capitalism and that socialism is the way forward.
Mm. Mm-hmm. But would you include like little funny jokes to make it more kid friendly? Sort of like the Muppets, your favorites?
No, the more like he dropped a lot of Lenin quotes.
Lenin quotes like, ow, ow, I've been shot. I was just outside my apartment. I almost made it in. Ah, help, I'm bleeding. It hurts so much. It hurts. Oh, God, I'm going to die. I'm too rich and young to die.
Yeah, we're talking about Vladimir Lenin, not John.
John Vladimir Lenin, the Beatle.
Nope, different people.
Oh, my gosh. That's embarrassing.
That's okay. You know, that's a history thing.
Well, I'm sorry. Please go ahead.
I forgot where I was.
You were talking about a Lenin quote.
Oh, yeah. So instead of saying we need to shoot the kulaks, he says we need to tickle the kulaks. You know, we take the edge off.
It seems confusing for kids, but you know best.
Yeah.
That's really weird. And you had some sort of like little, you had a lot of this Black Lives Matter money because, you know, so much money came in for donations that for the couple of dollars that were left that weren't used for personal real estate. You guys made some sort of like cool commercial aimed at kids, right?
Yep.
So what was that sort of commercial like? Because this had to air on TV.
Yeah, it was a TV spot, but when, mm-hmm. you know, and on all the kids' channels.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. So what was it like? I mean, normally it's like cereal commercials and toys and, you know, that sort of thing on kids' TV. What was this commercial like?
It's aimed at kids and mm-hmm. it just says, hey kids, you know, how's it going? Listen, you know, everybody's parents have a place where they keep stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And our game is to find it. Let's play find the stuff.
Okay. And who's giving this message?
It's a spokesman for the organization.
Okay. Got
he's
it.
Got a, but he's, it's a very, charming and warm looking, it's kind of like a Mr. Rogers for our time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he has a little dance in his step and he just says, hey, let's, he dances through the house and he shows places where your parents might hide valuables.
Uh-huh. Now that's a fun game.
He encourages kids to gather up anything they find that looks kind of cool or shiny and put it in a box and bring it to the UPS store. And send it to the address that the UPS store has pre-printed labels.
Yes, it is.
Because they're working with the organization. And they slap the labels on there. And then Patrice Cullors gets another house. And everybody's happy and racism is over.
Restorative justice, Brian.
Restorative justice, Jack.
That's great. So I'm just so glad that, you know, so much reparations money are coming through to this one woman.
Well, you know, she's really suffered. And I think this is you know, one of the ways we can reward her for her efforts.
That's just great. So, okay. So it sounds like a questionable commercial, but whatever. I can move past it. You know, let's get now, you know, before we end, tell us about the coloring book and the different sort of activities, you know, because, you know, coloring books, you're not just coloring, although there's that as well. You're coloring. There's, you know, sometimes you're, you know, cutting out different things. There's a page of stickers. There's, you know, an activity book like this is yep. full of fun, different things. What are some of the sort of fun little games and coloring sections and whatnot in these cool books that you guys gave out to K through fifth graders?
Well, there's one in the main, the fold out. So you have two pages and it's basically the inside of a pharmacy.
Uh-huh.
And you have the shelves are stocked with stuff and it says your crayon and you have 8 seconds and it says, circle the things you would take and run out with and not be prosecuted for. In 8 seconds, 3, 2, 1, go. And then you just circle all the various things. And then you tally up the value of what you've would have stolen and compare who's the best at taking things in a brief window of time out of a store and not being prosecuted for it.
What you say stealing, I think you mean liberating, but whatever.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I meant liberating.
Yeah. Liberating these products from the, well, that's very exciting. So, you know, so you'd circle the, you know, like the oxycodone, the, you know, Nicorette, the electronics, all that stuff.
Exactly. And then there's another page with a Hugo Boss store, another page with a Nike store. And you just kind of, you choose, you know, the things you would take. It's just like a little challenge. It's a fun little game.
And then I remember reading in that article something about an Ibram X. Kendi sticker page. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, there's just it's basically a full page of Ibram X. Kendi stickers of him looking intellectual or kind of gestating towards you, pointing at you, like mm-hmm. you know, doing or holding his chin with his hand, like that kind of like I'm smart pose.
Yeah.
And then there's just accolades for whatever book he poops out. Any, you know, there are accolades for any book. So there's like a 5-star review.
Oh, so you
just put on anything he writes.
That's the sticker is you give his book a great review.
Yes.
That sounds like a lot of fun for kids.
Oh, kids love that stuff. They love stickers.
That's really great.
And anti-racism.
That's really, and there's, I know there's also in that book, a George Floyd section, like a coloring and activity section for George Floyd. What, I mean, that sounds dicey. Would you mind just telling us about that?
It's a little controversial because it has him in heaven sitting between God and Jesus. You know, so obviously the suggestion is that he's the right hand there now and Jesus kind of gets moved over to the side, but it's for a good cause.
I don't see anything wrong with that.
Got a little pushback from the Vatican.
Well,
I told that guy, Mr. Francis, Pope, sir, why don't you focus on something else like the Ukraine-Russia crisis?
What did he say?
He said, oh, yeah, I'll go ask Ukraine to surrender.
I feel like you may have an agenda.
I feel like I might have, yes.
that's why, you know, thank you very much for, you know, sharing your time in the Black Lives Matter movement in helping to sort of steer kids in the right direction. And by right, yeah. I mean far, 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 far left.
I know I sound like a broken record or Michael Jackson, but you got to get them young.
You sound like just any member, any founding member of a colonoscopy club. Well, Brian, that brings to close another episode of Questionable Material. And, you know, if there's one thing, think about one thing you'd like to say to end it. And because I have one thing I would like to say, and that is if you enjoy the show, the best thing you could do is just send us a lot of money so we don't have to work anymore or do anything. But the second best thing you could do is to tell a friend about the show. That's really the best way for this thing to grow. Say, hey,
I've told you
like
about
comedy.
It multiple times. I've told you about it multiple times.
And you know my stance on this show. I will not listen to this filth.
Fair enough. So we got to find one extra person to replace the you not listening.
Yeah. So find someone, get a second friend, wine them, dine them, make love to them, get in their confidence, spend 9 to 12 months on this project. And then when you really feel like they're going to be open to listening to you, say, hey, I heard about a really funny podcast. If you like comedy, you should check it out.
Yeah. But I told my friend Jamie about the podcast. He said, I already know about the podcast and I can't go out for my birthday dinner because my wife just sponsored it.
Oh my gosh. We took their birthday dinner money.
That's how I see it.
I'm fine with that. Is there anything you would like to say to people before we say goodbye?
Yeah, Jack, I got to go to Cyprus.
Tell people that's about what you're about to do.
I'm about to go to Cyprus.
Good story.
The humanitarian aid thing, Jack.
Boo. Boo. Les Bryan. Boo. Humanitarian aid. Boo.
But, you know, I like it.
I know you like it. It's really dumb. All right. More on that next episode. Be sure to tune in and tell your friends.
Questionable Material with Jack and Brian. Subscribe on any podcast platform. Visit us at qmpodcast.com.